May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is just a word for CTKers. It's a little bit add-on to Sunday, and for those of you who aren't CTKers or aren't here, I think it'll still make sense to you. But this is from First John, chapter 1. And this is the message we have from him and announce to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We mention the day, and this, I love this scripture, because, again, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and when Peter said, "Not my feet, Lord," and Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, then you have no part with me." He didn't say you have any part in me. He just says, if you're going to fellowship with me, you're going to have to let me release forgiveness to you from time to time, because your feet are going to get dirty. It just happens. And so it wasn't a shocker to Jesus, and then he looked at them and said, he said to them, you have to do this to each other. We won't go through all that again, but how important it is for us to wash each other's feet, for us to be able to forgive each other. And again, it's the highest expression of Christ-likeness. The highest expression of love is forgiveness, because personal offense is the thing that we deal with more than anything else, because everybody in this world that we live in, we are every day bouncing against people who also are fallen, even though they may be Christians. And he's writing to Christians here. Now, one of the things he says, and he says it twice, so he must mean it. He says, if you say you have no sin, you're not telling the truth. And he says, you even make him out to be a liar and his word's not in you. So we can establish that, right? That every one of us sin from time to time, right? People can create all the theology they want to, and usually they do it with an attitude of arrogance about not sinning, which is proof that they still sin. But the fact is that if you say you don't sin, we all need to have our feet washed from time to time. That's what Jesus told Peter. In this world, you're going to get dirty feet. There's a place in Romans that says, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. That's a remarkable verse, and it scares some people, because people get afraid that if you really believe that, then you're going to run around and sin all the time, because there's going to be grace there. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Well, the problem is, God's not going to change who he is just to make you feel better theologically. The truth is that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Now, when Paul starts Romans chapter 6, he says, therefore, if sin abounds where grace abounds all the more, therefore I should just sin more so I can have more grace. He says, God forbid. Why would you, who are dead to sin, still live in it? The bottom line, he says, the only thing sin ever accomplishes is make a person miserable. Right? Now, you do understand, nobody in the world has the ability to make you miserable other than you. It's our sinful response to even sinful people that make us miserable. The cause behind all human misery is our sinful attitude, disposition, behavior, and response. And so your capacity for misery is there, even though you're a Christian, because if you say you have no sin, so we can still sin. We don't have to because of Christ, but we choose to. We don't sin by nature, we sin by choice. We have a new nature, but we do sin by choice. We do get dirty feet. But the good news is, If you understand, see, if you use grace as an excuse to sin, you don't understand grace at all. Because what grace has done is said, you can be free from being miserable. So why would you, who are dead to sin, want to live in misery? Right? But the scripture that we've been referencing a couple of times, but the good news and the glorious news is that you who have a new nature, who desire to be pleasing to God, who are learning to walk this thing out, those times when you do get dirty feet, thank God that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more, so that when you sin, you don't lose hope and you don't give in to shame so much that you don't get up and go for it again. It's so that we can keep going for it, right? But this is what it says again in Matthew 7. Do not judge lest you be judged yourself. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the specks in your brother's eye and do not notice the logs in your own eye? First take out the speck, and then, but we don't want to read all that. The point is the whole thing about judging others because of their sin. And I read this, and I wrote it down. It says, don't judge me because I sin differently than you do. That's a powerful statement. We all have sin. If you say you don't have sin, you've made God out to be a liar. But when we judge other people, when we have an attitude towards them and judge them, we're judging them simply because their sin's different than my sin. Because, see, I'm grateful that where sin abounds in my life, grace abounds all the more. I don't know about you. I mean, after 65 years, I've come to grips with the fact that I can sin. And unfortunately, sometimes I do. But in this pursuit of Christ and this pursuit of walking in the victory he's won for me, I'm grateful that when I do sin, he's faithful and just to forgive. And where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. But it's a terrible thing when I don't believe that about other people just because they sin differently than I do. I mean, is it okay for us to believe? Is it okay for me to believe that where sin abounds in my life, grace abounds all the more, but I can't believe that for you? Just because you're sinning different than I sin? Because I can't step back and say I've never sinned, therefore I have the right to judge you. I mean, that would be the only place you could ever do that. I have never sinned, therefore I can judge you. No, what we're saying is, I'm so grateful the grace where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more for me, but it's not true for you because your sin is more offensive to me than I think my sin is to God. It's not that I don't sin, it's just that mine's different than yours. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And see, that's why if you're judgmental or critical, and we're all challenged in this way, right? We all are, because people fail us. God can't let you steward a whole lot. Because he can't trust you with it. Because the pride that causes you to judge others in light of your own sin will destroy trying to steward a bunch. And again, it's not like you don't talk to people about their sin or don't help them work through their brokenness that's caused their sin. There's a difference between that and having an attitude of criticalness, rejection, and judgmentalism. I gave a prophetic word today. I'll probably share it tonight as a teaching, but thank God. Isaiah 33:23 says, the army of God is made up of the lame who take the plunder. It's the redeemed, restored, cleansed failures who have a heart for God that God uses. Not people with perfect records because there are none. But it's people with perfect hearts. And a perfect heart isn't a perfect life. King James says, the eyes of God run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for anyone whose heart is perfect towards him. that he might show himself strong on their behalf. If you look at that context, it's just the perfect heart is just one that wants to trust him and is trying to walk that out. Not a perfect theology, not a perfect walk, but a perfect heart. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.